September 9th at 18:39 hours in the regular board meeting of Northwestern Special Service District. The meeting is in Gunlock, Utah.
Okay, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Mark, will you lead us in the pledge?
Sure.
It's behind us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I will offer the invocation. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be gathered together in this board meeting. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to live in this area and for the many beauties that it provides us. We ask for thy guidance to be with us tonight, that we might discuss the affairs of the board and do it in a pleasant manner. Help us to interact with each other and help us to do those things that thou would have us do. We always love thee and ask that thy spirit to attend us at all times. In the name of thy son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, we're starting a little late, but we're here. Is there anything we need to have on the consent agenda?
Minutes.
Okay, we need to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Is there an issue with those? Okay.
Not in my opinion.
Okay,
no,
well,
I see none. I make a motion to approve the minutes of July 8, 2025 meeting at Vail.
Okay.
I'll second.
Rosemary second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Nay? None? Okay. Good. They're approved. And Rosemary, you can give me the one that I can sign. And
sorry, I should have given you this. I wrote on it.
Uh-oh. Well, that's all right.
Actually, all I need is the back page anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
My ink is having issues. Sorry. Okay, the first thing on the thing is the irrigation water share to the Vail Irrigation Company. And Slade, I guess that comes under your purview.
So we did get the check from them. Paula has it. And then Mark asked me about the documentation we needed to just make sure all our T's were crossed and our I's were dotted.
Mm-hmm.
I did go back through my notes. And I think from my understanding of my notes, is we were wanting a letter from the county attorney kind of capturing what we had thought. So, and we did get that. And everybody got that letter back on April 4th. And so I think that was kind of what we should attach with that transaction.
Yes.
Just for clarity, right?
Okay. So this is a standard probably form.
Yes.
And the title was wrong when it was written out, when it was issued. It just says Northwest instead of Northwestern, and it says you have to sign it just like that. But unless you want to call Carl Bowler to find out if we can just have the chairman sign it off.
I think that's a company-issued certificate, so they will honor that certificate.
Okay, that's what it sounds like. So, and it does not need to be notarized, right?
No, it does not need to be notarized.
Okay. Let's see.
And I think the signatures on there are the chair and the secretary. Is that?
It doesn't really have.
In our company, it really just signed by one person, but I don't know.
I don't see.
Well, we've got Stuart's signature and.
Well, we can make a motion to have the chairman of the board sign the certificate.
I would make a motion that we have the chairman sign the certificate.
I'll second that motion.
To the Bayo Irrigation Company.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right.
Move on.
This is going to the company to issue the certificate, so there will be no problem with that.
Okay, so I have.
So how's that project coming along?
It's coming along quite well. They're actually working with two other state agencies working on additional funding.
I'll put this in the file.
So hoping when the irrigation ditch goes dry this year, they can start actual construction as their goal. They don't want to start until irrigation season is over.
So I'll put this back in that.
Let me
image that.
Take a picture of that.
Yes, I will take that to them. I am.
We could wait for Chief.
Yeah, we'll have to wait on that. Let's go to the.
On my find my phone. He hasn't even left for a minute.
Okay.
So, all right. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Let's go ahead to item 7, the monthly accounting and budget.
So maybe Paula.
We printed off some stuff here. I should have made more copies. Or had Charlie make more copies. But it looks like on our profit and loss, we have current year to date, $126,000. And then we have an aging report. We're going to send approximately, what was it, $70,000 to the county for... to be attached to taxes.
And that includes a $10 late fee only, correct?
Only, yes. We took off the administrative $10 because we didn't rebill.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the operational budget report and bank reconciliation. This has, so Zion has, approximately $154,000 in it. The savings has $6,000. Credit cards. We have a credit balance.
Probably.
We could always, have because you know. I pay total amount when I pay it.
And, oh, okay.
And so.
ETIF has $95,500 on two CDs. We have one at $25,400 and another one at $10,100.
So if I may, of that money, $7,456 was from the Central Fire fundraiser. So Chief, maybe get together with the others to figure out what kind of equipment you want. I know you wanted that monitor, but Chief Guthrie bought one for each station. Yeah.
And
so
something that I've really been pushing for the last 2 years, I think is a good time to put up. Any funding that I get into the central station at this moment, I'd like to put towards a rescue vehicle. Any kind of rescue vehicle that we can get. Because
okay.
I think that's really important for our community.
Right. Gotcha.
As many medical calls as we've gone on. We have a paramedic now there, and she has all this stuff. So, you know, a rescue vehicle that could sit at her home when she is on duty. And if she's not on duty, we can give it to our two EMTs. They can split up between there, and that gives them that quick response. And it also allows me to still respond when I am home, but more or less kind of wait for other volunteers to kind of show up. Where we're not all waiting in one vehicle for volunteers to show up. If my paramedic or EMTs are ready to roll and we're ready to go straight to your house, I think that will benefit the community. So maybe with all this money we've been collecting, like what we're supposed to get from the Alps and fundraising money, you know, and whatever we have left over from the monitor, because you guys approved 55,000 plus medical supplies.
Right, so when
We're not talking something crazy, just it could be an old, you know, Chevy Tahoe, Suburban, pickup truck, with a camper shell on, throw some lights and stickers. It doesn't have to be fancy, just something that's dependable. And four-wheel drive, preferably, because we do get snow up there in the
central. Yeah.
We're going to have to go off-roading, you know, because we've had medical calls up to Garner Ranch also, you know, in the winter times and stuff like that, where those roads get slick, so... I think a four-wheel drive, any kind of vehicle.
Okay. Well, if everybody can keep their ears open, if there's a vehicle.
The 7,000 you're talking about, that's not in savings, that's in the regular general fund?
Correct.
Should we transfer it to savings to isolate it?
Well, we have it isolated in our ledger.
Right.
In our ledger.
No, I know, but... Like the savings is actually the original 5,000 from 2 years ago.
Oh.
So.
How do you identify that if you put it in that way?
Because that's the only thing in savings besides interest was the original contribution from the sale 2 years ago.
That one was spent.
Okay.
I think there might have been $200 for the fire hoses and nozzles.
Oh, okay.
Right, that was the first year. So I think there might have been, I don't know if there was any money left over on that. But on this was 2025 funds.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Was $7,456 that we deposited.
Okay.
I think that's a great idea.
I noticed that our interest on the checking and the savings is really, really bad.
Right.
Like 0.0.
It's nothing really.
Should we transfer is there a point to the savings account now that we've spent the contribution on the hoses? Can we send that to PTIF so we can get a little better interest rate?
Well, I think what we have to make sure we do is the CIB grant. Has to get finished because we paid out quite a bit and we need to get reimbursed, I think, before we move any money, because I don't think having 120 grand in our checking account or whatever exactly.
We have 150 in checking, but I'm just saying the savings. Can we send 5,000 to PTIF?
I'm sure we could. I think that's reasonable. I guess what I'm just saying is, on the CIB grant, I think there's, 70 grand. We have to pay 25, right? We have to wrap that up, get that check in, and then to me, then we have a good cash flow to move money back to PTIF. It's just, I mean, like, what if we need to buy a bunch of tires for the vehicles or buy the vehicle? When Chief Guthrie gets here, we could check in with him because he's also been looking at what was budgeted and how much more he could spend on things for this fiscal year. And then in the meantime, CIB is, we need to send them photographs. We need to give them a report of all of the things. And they and we want to wrap that up because we, Mark and I, and I know...
Is there an end date? Is there an end date that they have to have everything?
We've spent the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is everything that we've done. It's just putting the packages together
But what I'm saying is, do they have a required date that you have to have that?
No, but so. We want to be able
to get it done.
We want to be able to apply for 2026, and we'd like to close this up so that we have closed it up. They see we've dotted our I's, crossed our T's, and then be open to
be more likely to give us money if we do that.
That's right.
Right. So that's my impetus to
get
this wrapped up.
No need to lollygag around with it.
So of that, so when I talked to our representative Heather Paulson, I had said to her, you know, we have not expended our commitment of $25,000. And she goes, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I'm very sure. She goes, I thought we deducted it when you bought the truck. I'm like, you didn't. It was a $78,000 check. She goes, oh, we should have deducted it at that time. So we just need to fix work. She's like, it's fine, but they want, you know, they are saying, well, and I haven't given them any paperwork for months. So anyway, so back to the moving the money. Hence, Mark, maybe in October if we can get this all wrapped up.
And oh, I'll have it done.
Yeah.
Short.
Give me
one more week.
Sure. And then of that funding in the bank, the group from Central put a fundraiser, a park fundraiser together, and they raised $2,686, and that is in our account as well. And then there's a check from a gal, Gunlock, that was recently deposited for $750. That's to go to Gunlock Rescue. So of those monies, that's that has to go into that. And we still have taken out, what, $50,000 out of our PTIF fund for us to float cash when we hadn't gotten things.
Well, we paid $25,000 back.
Yeah. No, or did we take out $75,000? I'd have to look it up. I don't remember.
Because
we had paid for the truck. So the CIB, you front the money, and then they send you a check.
So the CDs we have is basically the same interest rate as PTIF.
Mm-hmm.
So those actually it was more, a little more when we took it out, but they're very quick to watch the Fed and lower the rates.
So that money we could easily move back
and
over to PTIF once they're up. Aren't they up in October?
And say what time
should we do that?
I think that's simple. Mm-hmm. I think when they're due, we just move it over, and that's 35
grand. Do we need to
36 grand motion?
Do a motion on that, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I think that's
either.
Just part
our
of
money,
that's what we're supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
so
we're doing it
we'll transfer the two CDs to PTIF at their expiration.
When they're mature.
I can call the bank tomorrow and find out.
Okay, you'll take care of it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we spent, if it's okay, since we're on finance, can I just jump to the...
Sure, go for it.
Sure.
We spent $245,000 and change on the rescue, the equipment, the meds.
This is for the CIB grant.
For CIB. The grant was $220,671, and the rest will be our contribution. So we've already spent the money. We just need to get part of it back. So we have the $78,000 for the truck has been returned, and the $30,000 for the Honda has been done. So it's the trailer and topper and then the accessories that we need to...
And the Honda is the UTV.
UTV,
the
right.
Yeah,
was that with the gurney as well?
Yes, we have a folding litter that we had a crafter in Cedar City make the holder for it, and so that's over in the bay ready to go.
So
actually, it's
in
yes sir, all of the emergency equipment, our IDs, everything is now included. The only thing that hasn't been done that we'll end up paying for is if we add any other radio or equipment to it, since we've reached our cap for the CIB grant and our contribution. anything else we do will come out of our
pocket.
Come out
of our budget.
But you still have the $25,000.
No, we've already spent our portion.
That?
So we're done meeting it. So, Ralph, why don't I get with you if it's okay, and we'll let me get some specs from you on vehicle.
Sure.
And I'll see what we can do. We might be able to get a partial donation from Ford.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And if I may also say, I know during the filming of Kevin Costner thing, $400 on an ETV rental.
If he comes back.
Oh. No, we already made $400. So, yeah, if they come back, we can maybe make more. But we're trying to figure out any other ways of income.
Okay, where are we at? You already did the standby fees, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so the tax is saying we're done with that?
Yep, we did 11.
I just need to do a cover letter and send it over.
I can do 12 if that's okay.
Okay.
The blue card grant, the money that we got from the county was really a one-time purchase of the entire blue card package,
mm-hmm.
which included the dollhouse, the training product itself, and the training fee for Firefighter Jones, I believe, Mark Jones?
No, it was Mark Rose.
Sorry, Mark Rose. So we reimbursed his travel and the cost of that training. So we've done what we need to do under the grant that was given to us.
And that was $31,000, was it?
In that neighborhood,
okay.
31 or 32. And so I need to see if there's any change that we have to give back to the county.
Uh-huh.
So I'll, if it's okay with you, I'll call them and do that.
Okay.
Chip Fest.
Okay. We've got the website status. Charlie's not here, but I've visited with those guys, and basically we're going to have some people that will design and host the website, and it's going to be in the neighborhood of $3,000 to do that, and I think that's well within our budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, I talked with them this past week, but I don't know any more on that, but
okay.
They sound like they know what they're doing. They know what we want.
Okay. Is that something maybe we could give them a retainer of like $1,500 to get them started? Because it would be really nice if we can get that up and running for 2026.
Yes, that's part of the discussion is, okay, we have to have this up and running for our billing
right.
cycle in January.
Right. Okay, great.
Basically, they'll have like a $30 a month hosting fee. So that's, if they take care of it, that's a whole lot easier to do that, and it's well worth it.
So then we just really need a contract from them so that we can get the ball rolling. And I would like to give them some deposit.
Okay.
Well,
that's and Charlie's doing that, so I can't take any more on that.
That's
but
fine.
Yeah, but he's
he'll be at Gold Cross tomorrow, so
okay.
If anybody wants
okay.
to.
But I'm just
is
saying,
is that going to include the electronic payments, or is that going to be through Polaris?
Well, that was one of the things they had questions, because Polaris is dealing with people.
The
right
third
now.
Party.
No.
It's the company that does the waste management.
No.
They do. He does their bookkeeping, but
the other company,
the vendor who does the payment processing,
Freedom Mailing. My bad.
Oh,
that was
anyway.
Express, wasn't it?
Express
Something
Pay.
Like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Express Pay needs about 2 months to set up, and then I can get an exact quote from them.
So we need to get that on board, too.
Yes, definitely.
And that's, you know, the guys that are going to do the website, they wanted to know, okay, who do you want to handle those financial transactions? And I told them, I said, well, Polaris has had somebody that they used, but I couldn't remember the name of it. So.
Yes. Express bill pay.
So that's kind of where that sits. As far as the servers got licenses for people to remotely access the server. It's a remote desktop thing that runs on a computer. And it will run even on an Apple or an iPad.
Okay.
But right now, we really don't have a whole lot on there because everything else is, you know, Polaris is doing this. We got the website. So
could we get frame, though, from you? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
I have no idea.
And that's why I was talking to Charlie about it yesterday, the other day, and said, okay, I need to get you going on this. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's in the process.
Okay, so just so you know, I have a lot of files that I've been working on. And
we have tons of room in there.
Yeah, but I mean, so to move them on there, but then I need to know how to get back on it so that I can work from that database and not mine.
Yep.
Right, so I need training on that.
Yeah, basically it's a remote desktop connection.
Right.
That you're logging into the server and you're working on the server remotely.
Right. And I used to do that at work, but, you know, the tech people there just set me all up to do it.
Yeah.
So if I just learn how to do it, then I can do it. And then Polaris will get on it as well. Their system, right, Paula? Isn't it quite smooth, their system, once you understand it?
Yeah. The only problem I have with Polaris, and it's just an accounting problem, it just depends on who you talk to. They're going to... It comes down to the same product at the end, but somebody has a different way of doing it. And so I just have to kind of get efficient at it, doing it myself, so that I'm not talking to different people and getting...
Yeah, I have it. Learn it for yourself. Yeah,
yeah.
And
speaking of that, I spoke with them today because I asked them for reports from our accounting. So... Long story short, after they talked with Kyle, they called me back and said, yes, we are to do it. So they're going to have all the reports up to date for our next board meeting, as well as I think they call it a budget thing to see where our budget
projecting,
is, because we have to also do our budget, I think, October, November.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things, particularly if we need to amend our budget to the state before the end of the year. So we need to look at that and see if there was any different income of sorts and just amend it and send it to the state. So that's something else that needs to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the selling the shares will require an amendment.
Well, the fundraiser, I don't know if that... I got to look. And
I
then there's
think
the
so.
Central
about that.
Park.
That's not a district.
But depending upon how much we get from the Forsyth Flyer, that's going to change.
Oh, and we haven't received any of that. Well, I'm just saying, so that needs to get looked at. And I'm offering all this because I am gone pretty much the end of October till the beginning of December, and I won't be able to work on it at all. So,
well, that's a lot of help.
I know, but I'm giving you notice. I'm going to need someone else to step up to do that. Okay, because we don't want to...
Yep.
You know, we already found out, Mark, we were behind on something with the state recently that we never did.
Yeah, how?
Because we didn't know.
Polaris supposed to do it?
Well, no, it isn't that. Remember, we had to pay the special service district a yearly fee?
Yes.
I'm just saying, like, we're learning some things
that
we didn't know about, and it's all straightened out, and they understand it. But, again, I'd like to make sure we, you know, don't... fall backwards, and that we show them where we've made all these improvements and
we're
on track.
We're doing it, so that's okay.
Yep.
All right. Number 13, Ralph. Chip Fest.
Chip Fest in Central. Rosemary's been working quite a lot on it. Okay, it happened while I've been gone in my presence. We're going to be starting next week where we're going to actually have our put a notice out to our community that we want to go in and have people start cleaning up their yards and stuff. And normally when we did this last year, we took the, you know, green waste down to the local dump and put it in the dumpster, and they hauled it off and made chips out of it, and they profited off of it. I think this time around with our community,
do our own chipping.
Yeah, we're going to bring our own chipper up. Derek, our assistant fire warden, has granted us access to the chipper through the county.
Cool.
And he's actually wanting to make it a training day for our district also and for our wildland firefighters so we can get training. And if it goes really well with this training, he's more than willing to leave this chipper up in Central during the winter, in a sense. So if we have more stuff that we kind of need to chip for other communities, you know, we can kind of spread it through the community.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go through Schmidt, huh?
Yeah.
That's
well,
cool.
Well, so Heber Hyder gets kudos.
Derek Sterling.
Yeah.
When
Derek is his assistant,
yeah,
fire warden, but Heber, when you see him,
yeah.
But I will also say this, if other communities want to hook up with them. So, like, for example, Derek told us he was trying to get in and do this for Dameron, and they're not.
They have other issues with
so,
codes and stuff like
so
that.
So they're looking, if Veo wants to put one, or Gunlock.
I can see Pine Valley.
You know, you could check in with them and see.
Those guys are pretty good to work with.
Yeah.
What's the start date to be able to start putting things there?
So we're starting next Wednesday, the 17th, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he just Ralph and Bob Allman, who's leading it for the Central Ward, because they're doing their day of service on September 27th, and they're going to help with the community as they did last year. And so they set up, you can pass this down, but they started to set up the area behind the fire station.
Yeah,
and they're very specific on
chipper,
staff,
that's looking good,
et cetera. So, you know, we're working through that and learning. But the idea is, so then they're going to, then they will come up and chip it, and then they're leaving the chips there for the residents to come to use for their residential. They're also going to, where they can, cut larger tree trunks for firewood. Bob Ballman said there are three widows that they usually supply firewood for them for the winter, but it's for the residents, it's not for people to resell it.
Right.
So we will post those rules, and I'm sure everybody will be respectful of that. But I'm thrilled that the fire warden and his team are not charging us to come do that. So
yeah, they're real excited on board that we're actually stepping up and leading the charge
and doing that. Yeah, that's
doing our field mitigation work,
because
Central is a big tinderbox.
Yeah,
the more we get people to start doing their defensible spacing, the better off we are if something does come through there.
Yeah.
One suggestion:
whoever's
trained needs to be certified, and we have to cover for liability insurance.
Yes.
Yep.
But their guys are doing the chipping, and then Chief Flores.
Well, they'll be training some of our guys.
Oh, correct. Gotcha. But I just want to be clear. They're the ones doing
the
chipping, and they'll be training whoever's on your crew.
So it's going to be going on for the next month. I think it is mid-October. I think the date was 18th of October. We're going to have them. They have to have their piles there.
Right.
But I think they're going
to
come look at it first, and then because they're working on trying to get the county to fund a chipper.
Okay.
That's what they're looking to do, and maybe they will, but. Because they don't want to.
Because our deadline for the cutoff of people bringing stuff is like mid-October.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And
then the chip date itself hasn't officially
been
set. Right. It's the end of October.
Correct.
Right.
Which is
they kind
of
want to cut it off.
And you're going to schedule people at a specific time rather than have them all come at the same time and block everything up.
I think what we're going to do is just
have them bring their stuff and bring a pile.
Correct, yeah.
And then,
behind the fire station now, we talked with Derek, the assistant, and we kind of laid it out to how he wants to bring the chipper in to have his crews chip it. It's basically like an L-shaped kind of layout. We did, I think it's probably, I'd say we probably have enough room for maybe like three big rollaway dumpsters to sit in that area in a sense, so we have plenty of room.
Yeah.
I don't know the cubic feet of, you know, that square footage, but I think we have enough to start off. And
there's central, South Central, are they blocking that area also?
No, we got all pushed up out of the area, so they actually moved up north from the area they were in.
After they moved the restaurant.
Yeah, that's another story. I was waiting for that to happen. But the diameters we're looking for the chipper is nothing bigger than 6 inches. You know, nothing that's been, you know, in the ground, you know, dirt, rocks, you know,
right.
Stumps. Yeah, and it really is.
It
really
is. Before you're going to screw up the blades.
Correct.
Well, depending upon the chipper, you know, some of them will take stuff like this.
Yeah, right. But don't do the blades anymore.
If you feed it right, it's okay.
The longer the blades are going to stay sharp.
Well, hence, one of the things that they wanted was, I guess, stump out.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when they lift
so
it, it goes
feed
in.
It right into the chipper.
Correct. So they're very specific. So we're going to watch. If people dump stuff, we'll figure
and
it out.
And I kind of told my volunteers and the enterprise guys, if we're home, you know, whatever crew's home at the time, to go out there and monitor
make sure,
it, you
yeah.
know, at the end of every shift, you know, kind of go out there and make sure whatever was brought is organized the way it needs to be. And like I said, I'll be out there making sure, you know, if I hear someone pull up, you know, I'll go out there and just kind of explain to them. But we're supposed to have, you know, signs out there that explain everything, you know, stump spacing cones to the south kind of deal, pile not higher than 6 feet, you know, and stay within the cone area when done. We'll see how it goes.
Sounds good.
We'll make sure I'll stay on top of it, make sure it's all organized.
I gave Bob Ballman the name of a couple that they need to work doing.
Okay.
They're incapable of doing.
Okay.
So they're on the order.
Okay.
Right next year.
Yeah, the board is looking for families that are either financially cannot do it and or physically cannot do it. That's the priority of whose homes they would go to. And they're looking to first do the 10 feet within their dwelling and depending where it's at, but they're not going to spend like all day there. They're going to try to hit as many as they can, but their priority is that first 10
yeah.
feet. So.
I totally agree with that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
14. We we're finding that we need four more portable radios per station for effective management. The set, which would be a portable radio, a case, microphone, and a spare battery, is approximately $500. So it's around $2,000 per station, so $8,000 total to get us 16 more portables. I'd like to see if we can do that and not wait for next year's budget since we have the money, because we're not out of the woods yet for fire season.
No, we're not.
We could definitely use them. So I...
So that's $8,000?
Yeah, $8,000. Probably a little less than that, but I don't know if the prices increase, but we'll still hopefully get our 80% discount.
Harris.
Yes. And then we don't have the radios in the rigs, in the vehicles yet. We're in the queue. When you start doing that, I'm thinking that you probably will need a headset.
For
least
the engine, at least, maybe.
Yes, for the driver.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we've got some fluff in the budget, but once we start installing those, that's the only other piece that we need, and we can get those from the vendor who puts in the radios. So I know it's a Charlie thing. We've talked about it, but I just wanted to make sure that the board is okay with you know, that normally you'd have earplugs in there, but you need to be able to hear the radio. We can get there's a special adapter that the Harris radios need to be able to plug in the standard headsets to them. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to do that too. So really, a total of $10,000 between
the radios and the install.
Yes. Is that sound okay with everybody? I'm sure.
So I guess I'll make a motion that we spend up to $10,000 to get new radios and accessories that are needed for our fire stations and vehicles.
I second.
Oh,
okay. You second?
Suggestion?
Yes.
Just a thought. In the old days, when Bill Becker, we had an 8.5 by 11 sheet with a layout of the and the names of each of the roads for Central, Vail. I'm not sure about Gunlock, but I know there was one for Brookside. And a suggestion is I'll make copies if you think you want. We put them in acetate sheets back to back, and they're in each cab. And you can also, if you get a thing like we did with Central, anybody that comes in, you can give them one of those, and they can keep it there. But I think for the crews themselves, maybe not familiar with everything in Vail or Brookside, for example, they go into it, they can go right directly to it. Time zone.
I'm not understanding.
You're talking about maps.
They're actually an overhead of every road laid out, and the one for Central is updated. I've got it updated. Well, we've seen it. Uh-huh. It's got all the hydrant locations.
Right.
Which helps a bunch.
Right.
But I'm not sure about the one for Brookside or Vail, whether it's been updated or not.
I don't know. So, that's a fair idea. Me personally, when we get a call, I hit the map button, and that gives me a route right to it. Normally, unless they've given us the wrong address, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And so, technology's come a long ways where we probably should have a backup map in there. I think that's a good idea, but our mapping system now with get that.
Well, it should be on the tablets.
What's that?
On the tablets.
I use my cell phone when I operate. Yeah. I get the page on my cell phone, and it has not only the call data on it,
this is the map.
It has the map button.
And the route.
Hit that map button. In.
You added a new hydrant to the corner Wells Fargo and the highway, right, for that new house?
So that's on the other water system.
I thought that was yours.
Yeah, that's Pine Valley Mountain Farms Water Company.
Oh, okay.
But there is a new, I did see that one there.
That's cool.
And we have several of those. I've been updating our hydrants on our, whatever that's called.
The active
911. So if you go to a fire in Vail, most of those hydrants are now up to date. Now, there'll be a few that I may have missed or haven't got to yet, but I've been inputting all my hydrants on that active 911 active alert.
Cool.
Yeah. Do all the hydrants have a reflector on?
No. Actually, none in Vail have reflectors on.
We've got some on ours. Ours are numbered, but they're hard to read. But then you can read them close up. That, I know, Pine Valley, they have a reflector on. They even have a little stick-up flag on it so you can see it. But a reflector might help if...
But on the map thing, I think that's a good idea, but our technology's come a long way.
Yeah.
We're able to map those pretty quick now. Like I say, we're not hunting for street signs normally.
I don't think
everybody is as smart as you are, don't forget.
True. We were going to do blue dot on the pavement opposite, but with the way the county comes through with a loader and scrapes the...
It works pretty good. I mean, that you can see them at night. They're faded from when we put them in originally.
Yeah.
but you can still pick them up. The secret is like we talked before, you've got to clear the space around the hives. There's still some that are bushed over. Anyway, if you like, I will run copies of those.
We have them digitally mapped. I mean, we have all the areas, and they're very detailed, and they have the person.
Big.
No, but if you send them digitally, and the...
Not everybody's going to have the thing in front of them. You know, particularly, you got a driver and somebody with you, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's the one that's reading
now.
Okay,
just in
so
case.
I don't know, but you, whatever you guys think, I'm just saying, what would you print, something 8.5 by 11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so is that going to be legible?
An acetate cover, and you've got, you know, for example, you maybe have bale one side, group side on the other, and then gun lock, and maybe central on the other side.
Okay.
I've even got a fine belly, I think.
I've seen the maps, and so, like, for example, Central's pretty sprawled. There's Mountain Meadows. There's, you know, I'm just saying it's pretty sprawled. I mean, Gunlock's the smallest.
If somebody coming into, particularly into Brookside, for example, if you take the wrong turn, you've got to whip around, and well, the trucks are not 10 feet long anymore.
Chief's report?
Yep.
I make a motion to give that to you. It really would be helpful for some people. So thank you for
it. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. All right, Ralph.
All right. So this last month has been real active here in Central.
Okay. No problem.
Fire calls, we have a total of 6.
We're at the station
three
report,
of those
so
were actually from a
we'll
single tree lightning strike from
here.
The storms that we're kind of going through. I know Chris Larson helped out up in Central.
No
we
problem.
We had Dameron even go up there a couple times to help out.
Thanks.
You know. Chief Charlie has been on it to know my absence with those single trees, and they've been able to catch them before they got any bigger. More or less, and we had a gas leak everyone heard about the other day that they hit, I think it was an 1.5-inch branch off a 3-inch main that went right down the center of Pine Valley Highway. The 3-inch main was marked out, but the branch coming off of it was not. And of course, when they took the little trench with it through there, they
went right
punched
through
a hole right through it, and it was blowing out gas pretty good where it was, kicking up the dirt and doing literally.
No, that's a nice thing about natural gas, it all goes up.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
so
low pressure.
Yeah, so like
well, it doesn't matter whether it's low pressure or not, it goes up.
It
doesn't pond like
too bad you don't smoke.
Yeah.
Could have had a training.
Well, the guys are making fun of that. You know, somebody needs to throw a cigarette out there and burn the whole field and everything up there, and we had a total of 6 medical calls this last month in Central. I don't know if everyone heard, but it was, one of them was a 4-year-old that was hit on riding his motorcycle by the sheriff who was going to respond to a call in our community. From what I hear, the sheriff wasn't going 1039, he was only going 1040. The young boy was riding his motorcycle for the first time, he was riding a bike, and he didn't know how to hit the brakes properly. But the motorcycle had training wheels, so I don't even think, the boy was big enough to be riding this motorcycle that he was on. So between those kind of factors, unfortunately, bad time.
Well, stuff happens.
So I feel as time goes on, this is going to be an ongoing situation in our community.
Yep.
Everyone's aware that lives in Central. You hear those kids on their dirt bikes racing around our community, like it's just an off-road, dirt road track. And a lot of times I've seen them, and I've actually gone out there running out the fire station. When they go by the fire station, I slow them down, put my hands down, and I put a lot of them, that you need to do at least 5 miles an hour in these neighborhoods, it's not, you can't do the 60, 70 miles an hour, full throttle. But that's my biggest fear that, we are going to have some, might be a fatality one of these days, unfortunately. Because the parents aren't getting it, the parents are all, let them be kids, kids will be kids, let them have fun, we live in the country, but we have tons of dirt roads out there that they can be riding on. They don't need to be all
in the middle,
For everyone that lives here, we kind of know that situation.
Yeah.
And of course, we had one rollover on SR18 of the other Saturday, which I thought could have been really worse. I'm thinking it's going to be a concern. We've been having that farmer market pop up you know, when the time is good and they're kind of crowding that corner, and it's great to see the vendors out there and people doing everything. But I almost feel like we need to, like, maybe move it to a different location. I get the location right there on the corner is perfect, you know, because you get all the traffic, people coming in from Pine Valley. You know, I'd almost say, like, even if we move it more down in the parking lot of the fire station, even, just so they're not ripped on that corner.
Yeah, right.
Because that rollover, it was a T-bone, and the T-bone rollover went into towards that direction, and it actually hit the pickup truck that was pulling the hot dog stand.
Yeah.
You know, and if that truck wasn't there, or even if the stand was set up just another 5 more feet, it could have plowed into everyone working that stand.
Plus, that's where people fall.
Right. Or the other option is we start, you know, I know they don't have permits, and it's just, you know, everyone lets them do everything, but I was even thinking, you know, doing something to get money, put some K-rails up on that corner or something, just so if something does happen, it kind of diverts. Yeah. But at the same token, you know, what do we do about that?
It is being dangerous. I come in with a load of cattle from the northbound. Mm-hmm. Somebody parked there going in. You have people on all sides, and there are signage right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In order to avoid killing somebody, mm-hmm. I had to run over somebody's lane frame sign, and it messed up the front of my truck, so it was kind of frustrating that way, too.
Right, exactly. And then now with this whole mining operation that's going to be happening, you know, that got approved today. I'm sure you guys all heard about that, mm-hmm. you know, and... You know, we're going to have a lot more semi-trucks and dump trucks, if that's the case, eventually coming through that intersection. I think we really need to
We should probably get with UDOT and make sure they're aware of it so that proper turn lanes could get in. But I'm going to say the family that does the hot dog stand in the farmer's market, so the county did approach them about a month ago because they didn't have the proper lease to be there, actually. So they've worked through that, but I agree. I think it's time to move it. I mean, it's going to get worse.
Correct.
It's going to get worse, and as you said, I mean, the milk trucks are coming down that road, the hay trucks, I mean, and they're flying. So, our speed limit in Central is 65, and people easily do 65. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering if we reach out to UDOT so that they can maybe do an evaluation, and maybe it's UDOT who
has to know about the county apparently.
Okay.
The county must do that traffic impact study.
Okay. Well, all right. So.
Did they mention it today?
But yeah. Kind of when I go back
that
to the whole
call
accident
was Charlie.
Central,
they're on
the
way back.
Month,
oh,
five
too late.
Yeah.
We're done.
Oh, okay.
People
okay.
Injured in an actual
accident.
A serious injury.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, right there in my little response area of Central.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about what else happens along our district's corridor. That's just strictly from mile marker 24 up to 36 is basically what Central is responsible
mm-hmm.
for.
Is there enough room behind the fire station for that?
Right now we have the Chip Fest going out, so I wouldn't say no, but you know, maybe I know it's coming winter time here and it kind of slows down.
Yeah, things
maybe
are changing.
By the time springtime comes around, if we could have something figured out, you know, to make it a little more safe.
Yeah.
Or anything, because after that last accident, I was just like, this could have been way worse than it was.
Wouldn't it be better to have a move over to the west side?
I think just to get out of that whole corner to just.
Yeah, but I don't think the west side is going to be any different.
If anything,
it
would be right there in
front of
the dump, kind of where they have the bonfires, you know, kind of deal, where it's a little further off the road in a sense, but anything right there on the road
and
could happen.
Yeah.
It was a matter of time.
Yeah. And speaking of which, the marathon is coming up in just a few weeks.
They just reached out to me the other day to make sure we're on board to give them fire protection, you know, put the fire out. And October 4th.
What was the fee you quoted them for this year?
I know, about $10,000.
Yeah, that's about right.
But, so I'm on board for that. If I'm out on deployment, I'll make sure we'll have someone there to make sure. So if any other communities that like to come up, they're going to light the fires off at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We usually like the stage get there around 3:30. And
be there ready.
Be done by like 9 o'clock. The race
I like
starts
to be
counted
before they get here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So.
Chief Guthrie's on his way back, so he's not going to make it. We were going to talk about the bill that we got for the paving at Bayo Fire Department. Way back when Chuck was on the board, we had approved that we would pay half of the paving cost for to pave Bayo Fire apron. And back then it was...
up to $18,000.
Yes. So then it went to that that Gold Cross would pay for everything, never mind. And that was up to about a month ago. And then now it's back to they billed us $18,000, Gold Cross. Well, the paving company.
Paving company.
But did we have a contract with them? I never saw
We do not have a contract. And what ended up happening was they paved the order that the paving company got from Gold Cross simply paved the parking area and the driveway to the road for their parking on that side, on the east side of the building, and didn't have an order to pave the apron that we needed from the bays to the street. And so they came back and did that, and we got what I understand is the full bill for around $18,000, and that's not half of it. So the question is, do we, given all of the work that they've done, extra work, putting in air conditioning for us and a swamp cooler and all the other improvements to the station that will benefit us, do we want to go with the original, we'll pay up to $18,000 and I pay the bill? Or do we want to say, hey, are we paying half of the bill?
So my first question, which has always been my question, is what are the specs and what did they do? Because if they didn't do a prepare the dirt correctly with road base or and build
they
it up.
They did do that.
But how do we know?
Because I saw it.
Yeah,
you
I
saw it
there.
Too,
they
right?
Did, yeah.
Okay, they
brought
did.
In road base.
So you guys are comfortable with the
it
quality?
Looks professional.
Well, it does. It doesn't look like it's a 4-inch AC, though. But I don't know. I wasn't there when they did
yeah,
the paving.
Yeah.
I just saw the road base.
I mean, we could pour it and see. But it looked, I mean, I was just observing as a bystander, right, as I would go by.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I really wish we would have input, because if we knew that was the case, we should have paved a little bit more
mm-hmm.
to cover the door and that parking for us, and
so,
it would have been worth it.
So it was also my understanding, a quote originally, and I'm thinking maybe it was for more area, was $36,000, and
yeah.
we were paying half. So if it's $18,000 total, which is what I understand,
I don't think so.
It's not. Their portion of their parking lot was around the same, $16,000 or $17,000 of the parking lot, right in front of the door that the medics used to go into the room, and that narrow driveway that goes straight to the street that's going to get torn up because there's no curve to it.
Right, there's
so,
no...
Yeah,
there's
so everybody's hitting that thing sideways. That's a separate bill. That's their choice. So, in my opinion, we should be paying half of what we agreed to, which was from the bay to the street, which would be $9,000, not $18,000. So that was what I was trying to bring.
So what's your conversations with Gold Cross?
Well, that's Charlie's, now that there's a new manager there.
Yeah.
The old manager retired,
right.
the old, don't worry about it, we'll pay for it, went away, and now it's back to this. So
they're, from your gut feeling, are they pretty set on us taking care of that bill?
Honestly, I don't know.
No,
it just
no,
came
I was
in
talking
my
with
email.
Charlie about that the other day. And he was telling me like $12,000. And for me, for all the stuff that Gold Cross has done for us, I don't have a problem with that.
12 would be reasonable, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure we're a good partner with them, because they
yeah.
have been a good partner to us.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. They've spent
so,
a whole lot of money on
and
that
I
station.
Wasn't here during the original
yeah.
deal making, right? So I don't have a whole lot of background other than what we've got. I would say let's have a conversation with him and
yes.
see if we can come to better terms.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's looking like we're going to become at odds with our good partner, we probably ought to just take care of it, in my opinion. You see what I mean?
I do. Yeah, it would have just been nice to get 6 or 8 feet of apron in the back.
No, either way.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
And this was a all of a sudden thing. So, and a different, I believe it's a different vendor from the original, if I remember right.
The, so do you know the name of the vendor that did it?
Yes. I have it right
here. Yeah. Do you have it?
It's GP Southern Utah Grave and Pay.
Okay, yeah, I know. They do a lot of work around. Yeah. So,
but I'm with you. I think we should have a conversation. I'd still like to see what the contract says. And I think we should have a conversation with Gold Cross and understand what they I'd really want to see what they did, the specs of what it said.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't on the invoice. I mean, the general part of what they did wasn't on the invoice, but there was no engineering layout or
right.
any of that.
So I took some details of the edging, and then I took some others of, you know, it's not straight, and I kind of get it, but then I would have put an edge of some sort there.
So the hard part with asphalt is, in order to put an edge, you have to have a barrier of
right.
some
mm-hmm.
kind. And if you roll that, edges are going to roll off. There's
correct.
No,
yeah.
there's no question. So the edges are going to be thinner than the rest of it as you're rolling that with no. I mean,
unless you put a barrier.
Unless you put a barrier
right.
like a concrete curb
sure.
or.
But I guess my point is, to me, it would have been worth paying more to put an edge into this.
Yeah.
Because I think over time, because people are going to drive.
Honestly,
on
I think we ought to look at continuing that.
Yeah.
In front of that door,
sure.
right? And
yes.
that would solve
yes.
because they'd come in, cut a straight line, and
yeah.
then they'd go from there, and then we could
right.
we could determine what kind of edge we put on that to keep it
right.
from falling apart.
Right.
And that's why it would have been nice to have a conversation.
Yes, I agree.
So
we
that
we
can
on
all
time,
get
we
on the same
better.
Page.
We could change vendors as well.
And
that's
yeah.
pretty hard to do.
So anyway, I guess that's my thing. It would because then we knew we had the $18,000 in the budget to do that.
Right.
So then. Just to come in less, but then you got less. So.
Well, should we have Chief Guthrie approach?
Yeah,
them?
I think we have Chief Guthrie approach
so.
Them, and then we let him report
sure,
back
we talk to Craig
the temperature
and
of
work
what,
it out.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
The temperature of it. I don't think we go in aggressively. We just go
no.
in.
Sure.
See, when
yeah.
I got the bill, I didn't know if I was supposed to pay half of it or the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
given the fact that they
yeah.
added their portion
I
to
think
it.
The way to do it is approach it. This is what was originally agreed upon, but there was nothing written. So you've got new ears with Gold Cross.
Yeah.
You've got a new vendor. I still grab you to pay it, but
yeah.
maybe you can get a compromise out of it.
Chief Larson's with Chief Guthrie.
So
I think
happened?
So.
They're on that debrief.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so yeah.
And I don't know that it's a good time to frame their
problem.
Well,
it's
important to get through that.
No, I know, but I mean maybe they just need to relax tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess is where I'm going. Why don't we hold off on?
Yeah.
Well, as far
things.
As bail, we responded to most of those calls on the corridor. That
mm-hmm.
everybody else did. We had our own lightning strikes. So
you've been on the department for a decade plus, right?
Yeah.
Has the sheriff's department ever called any of the departments that you're aware of for a medical blood draw for a crime scene before?
That was the first that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that really caught my attention because chain of custody is critically
mm-hmm.
important on those cases, and not having that in our protocol to be able to do a venipuncture.
Well,
did Gold Cross do that instead of
Gold?
No,
Gold Cross would have had to.
Gold Cross came, but they don't have vacutainers on
mm-hmm.
their rig.
So we?
No, Dameron came and two EMTs did it. But from my understanding, they don't have Vacutainers either on it. So
I would recommend that we don't get involved in that.
Well, yeah, I was surprised they didn't take him down to the ER, have it drawn, because that's where it's going to get processed, and there's a single chain of custody. Because you've got to have special prep, sealed box, and all of that. And so if it's something that it looks like we're going to do, then we need to talk to the sheriff and to the county and to EMS and see if that's going to be a thing in the rural areas. Because we can accommodate it. We just need a protocol for it and to be able to bill. No, well,
there's no liability there. No, it's just change of chain of custody.
Yeah,
and it's bad procedure.
Well, yeah, who's going to pay the volunteer firefighter to go to court?
That's the big issue.
Yeah, so I think we need to pay attention to this, and
yeah, this is the first time I've
maybe
ever
it's a one.
No, I've never seen that either.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
That's all right. Can we move to director's comments?
Yep. Yes. All right, Schlade, you're on top.
I don't have any. Well, yes, I do. I would like to see sometime in the next few years we budget for a water tender.
Oh, that's
absolutely.
I want a
next
nice,
year.
It doesn't have to be an attack tender even in our
no,
case. A nice water tender that has a cannon and can spray water.
Yeah.
I think a 4,000-gallon tank would be good in our rural area.
Okay. That would be a little bit heavy. I would say about 3,000.
Just to let you know, I'm on the federal watch list for surplus as well as commercial reuse. I'm trying to find something within our anticipated budget, like less than 40, but also, you know, 6x6 and less than 150,000 miles on it. I mean, on a diesel, it's not going to matter too much, but most of these have 600,000.
Good one. I mean, there are occasions where we're off-road with the tender, but mostly the tender can stay on the road.
Yeah.
Mostly the tender, and some of these fires next to the roadways, even a tender, if the tender's first on scene, there's been several of these around here where if they have that side sprayer on, and they're one driver in that tender could have put so much water on that thing, and it would have been out had we had a good solid tender there
so
that could do that.
You don't see the need?
Along the corridor from Genlock all up to Mount Meadow or up into Pine
You don't see a need for a 4x then? Because those are dime a dozen, the 2x.
In my opinion, you can work towards a 4x for some of these other things, but I'm talking a Kenworth with a big old motor on it that can haul that water at highway speeds.
Those are going from Ritchie Brothers. They're going for between 36 and 45 thousand.
Right, that's what I mean. And I realized that it would be really nice to have a good attack tender and all that stuff go along with it. But
we need the water.
Kenworth, Peterbilt, whatever it is, with a solid motor in it that can haul that.
And you'd put
three or 4,000 gallons, 5,000 gallons up the highway at 65 and turn a PTO on with one driver in it that can do a quick attack on next to a road if we need to.
Park it in Vail or Central?
I would say we take our old tender out and put it in Vail, but.
Yeah.
Well, we can work through that.
We're working on that one anyway. That's an FAP rule.
Well, and those you see these structural ones like I guess this one belongs to Bryce Christensen up here that's in Gunlock, and they have them remote cannons in them too. So not only do you have the side sprayer, but the driver can drive along and put a lot of water on a fire that's right next to something really quick.
Okay. Well.
Well, when we have. And I think with our year end, we can see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
But between getting
I'm not looking at this year, but I'm just saying next.
But yeah, that's.
Wow. But I think we can afford
it. It would be nice to get it for
the next
fire season.
Yeah, in the
though.
Next year.
But if that's what you're looking for, then that I can find that's been certified and it's guaranteed from Ritchie.
Mm-hmm.
They do the specs on the oil, the lubricant, they go through and they certify it so you know exactly what you're getting.
But, you know, I don't want to keep seeing us, because I think cash-wise we'll be in really good shape and then next fees coming in, I mean, we should spend the money wisely to help support our district.
As you're looking though, Mark, look for one with a big enough motor that we're not creeping down the road.
Oh, yeah, just...
Yeah, something that's got to be able to handle 3,000 gallons and
most of them are 4,000 gallons.
Yeah, most of them are 4,000 gallons. As I say, what's standard? That's why I said 4,000.
Okay, I was told to look for a 4x,
well,
and those are
and
hard
that,
to come by.
That would be nice in some wildland scenario, right? But I'm talking
for
this
our district.
Yeah, basically, I could park that tender on the highway, and I could run the brush trucks back and forth.
So we don't really need it to be off road. We need it to be a regular.
I think they were looking more tactical because the idea was thrown around that we could send it out and make money for the district. That's kind of the difference between
then when we have our fire.
That's right.
It would look really bad.
Yep, that's right.
I would just like to see one that stays in our district that can haul water and haul butt and service.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Dumb question. Do we have enough gate valves?
Do we have enough what?
Gate valves.
Our truck is pretty set up with gate valves.
Yeah,
I think every truck has at least two.
Yeah. Okay, as long as it's the truck, that's the main thing.
We probably have a lot in Brookside. We'll have to look.
Yeah. One of those, I throw two on the hydrant.
Yeah, every truck should have two gate valves for the hydrant.
Okay.
Yours?
Yeah, so I just want to say, Chief Flores, can you tell us some of your accomplishments this wildland fire season, please?
I've pretty much excelled in my career. I set a goal of becoming firefighter 1 and IC5 by the end of the season, which I feel I've already accomplished. The firefighter 1, which because the season started early in March, I was able to get on assignments a lot earlier, so I was able to get that task book signed off. So mid-season, I became firefighter 1, which allowed me, after going on a couple assignments after becoming firefighter 1, allowed me to open up my task book for engine boss, which I'm already kind of cruising along through that also, which was going to be my 2026 goal, which I'm kind of stoked that I'm already, you know, accelerating in that, where I'm going to say I'm about halfway through that task book. My last assignment, I actually got my IC5 task book signed off, and now it's turned over to the states for review, so hopefully in the next week or so, I'll be hearing back from them that I'm actually qualified IC5, which is really good, which I think, you know, like I said, at the end of the season, you know, I stressed that I wanted to excel my wildland career further, which I feel like I've done. I've got a lot of experience, a lot of fire time out this season, managing, you know, running crews, running an engine, which I feel is going to help me here back at home also, managing our volunteer department and stuff like that, just taking more of that leadership role and being an effective, decisive leader, and so I'm pretty stoked.
Congrats.
Well, thank you.
You'll get a bump in pay in your next envelope.
Really? Yeah.
So I'm hoping, you know, by next season, first of the season, I could have my engine boss, you know, and that would be a really good qualification to have. And then,
your own engine.
Yeah, exactly. More money for enterprise, as they say, right? So, but at the same token, you know, I think it's going to be a great, you know, just for the whole thing, like we're doing this whole blue card thing and everything, bettering ourselves, being instant commanders. I think that's what really our district needs, is just good leaders and positions that know how to command and how to deal with that stress under, you know, during stressful situations, you know, because you just never know what you're going to get out there in the sense of how it's going to come. It's so always being that preparedness for any kind of really worked on that this season and feel confident going forward. So. And like I said, once I, you know, become engine boss, I'm looking into becoming another boss, maybe a firing boss.
Sure.
You know, I think maybe that's going to be my next, you know, way to go, which I think is pretty important to have, you know, especially around here, you know, if we need to backburn stuff to stop a major coming towards Central or any of our communities, you know, there's someone qualified that actually knows what they're doing and actually burn off instead of burning the town down kind of deal.
Right.
So.
And then hopefully from there, further my career into task force leader, you know, once I have two bosses, and then kind of go from there, and hopefully division, and then safety officer. Maybe by the time I get Mike's age, you know, and I can, you know, continue to go out there. Or like I said, maybe I'll still be on an engine, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Engine life, I love it, you know. All these younger guys on my crew are all about, like, oh, I want to be on a hand crew. I want to go out there, you know, dig line, hump packs, and all.
Well, that's how you learn.
Yeah, that's exactly how you learn, you know. But I'm like, you guys could have that life, and I'll stay.
Yeah, how you wreck your body, too.
Well, continue to stay safe, and thank you for all your accomplishments.
Yeah, it helps with the recruitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our community, to have that, because we don't, you know.
Maybe the county would give us a free water tank.
That would be nice.
That's all I've got. So
that's
thank you.
Good idea.
Okay.
And Mark?
Costco finally put the combo ring kits back on sale again. So I was able to pick up the four light cameras for outside each fire station and stick-up cam for inside came in a kit, $195.
Okay.
So I bought one set for each station. So we'll get those installed, and we'll have one account on that, and the chiefs can all sign in and take a look at it. You'll be able to see all, 16 cameras on one layout if you wanted to. Other than that, I think that's it for me.
Okay.
Well, one thing I just mentioned to Ralph, the new Latter-day Saints Church that's on Pine Valley Highway, I have not measured it. I didn't run my measure with it. But I am of the belief that the hydrants that are in place right now, the contractors has omitted to put one in the middle, and so the distance between hydrants in that particular area is much larger, much longer than 500 feet.
You're correct.
Sorry?
You're correct.
Yeah.
They plumbed
so
for it,
I don't know,
but didn't put it in.
I told you, Ralph, my thought was to get Charlie to, or maybe the fire district to put in a letter to the contractor to tell him he's not in compliance and then force him to do it.
But I think that's the county's responsibility.
No, it isn't. Because it's a water district that owns the hydrants. And he's contracting with the water district to put the water system in.
But, I mean, he's got to follow code. So if code says...
But
they had it in their specs.
How he submitted to the county and what his plan is, what his layout is.
They finally put the last one back in.
The middle one?
The one by the cattle guard.
There's one at the far end.
Yes.
Yeah,
so there's two that were plumbed and not installed.
There's another valve halfway down.
Right. Between Mary's driveway
and that one. And they haven't.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. I've got this letter that I got to me. It says, "Dear Chairman Johnson, my name is Luis Manzano, and I am writing to express my deep gratitude for the exceptional assistance provided by members of the Gunlock Volunteer Fire Department during a recent motorcycle accident I experienced while traveling through Utah. On August 13th of 2025, I was involved in a serious solo motorcycle theft on West Vale Gunlock Road. I sustained significant injuries, and it was the swift and decisive actions by the Gunlock Volunteer Fire Department firefighters that ensured I received the immediate and appropriate care I needed. Their professionalism, compassion, and willingness to act without hesitation made a profound difference in my recovery and quite possibly saved my life. Thanks to their efforts, I am now home and healing well. I cannot overstate how grateful I am for their dedication and services that day. As a recently retired fire battalion chief, I fully understand the weight of the responsibilities that comes with representing public service. Our duty to uphold the mission and values of our community is what sets this line of work apart. The Gunlock Fire Volunteer Fire Department exemplified the highest standards of public service, and their actions reflect positively not only in themselves, but also on your leadership and the culture you foster within your organizations. You have every reason to be proud of the men and women of the Gunlock Volunteer Fire Department. On that day, they embodied what it means to serve with honor, responsibility, and commitment. With sincere appreciation, Luis Manzano, Battalion Chief, retired. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's too bad that the guys are, that did it are not here.
Yeah.
But then that's what we're after.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
You know, the... I'm sure Charlie has seen this. I got it in the email.
Yeah, he posted it.
But
that's great.
Yeah.
It is. And basically, the standards for wildland fire is duty, respect, integrity.
Yeah.
That's what you embody as wildland firefighters. And that's what I want to express out to all of our guys. You know, that's the thing, that it's a real stickler for me. I've been doing it for 40-some-odd years, and that's what it's all about.
Well,
deep profession.
Just on top of that, he was talking about that intersection accident, which was bound to happen.
Yeah.
And the thing that I heard back from that was, I heard it from several people, that it was almost instantaneous. You know, the swarm of bees came in instantaneous. And they knew what they were doing. And that was from people that, as far as I know, live in Central and were just observing it. You know, so that's the kind of thing on top of that that really builds up,
yep.
Not just the reputation, but the respect that they deserve. You know.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I would entertain
a motion to adjourn.
Cool.
Okay, we're done.
You might
Thank
want
you.
To send that into the commission.
Adjourn
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I would.
2 minutes past 8
because
p.m.
Because it's possibility of government taking over the world.